Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
All right, let's see if things worked out. This is the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio.
Start spreading the news.
And that should mean Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, did that actually bring you in? No, I was afraid that happened. All right, let's reset here. Put Stu back on hold for a second, and then we will bring him back in. There you go, Stu. You there this time?
Can you hear me now?
There we go.
All right.
Yeah, sometimes, oddly, you know, it's one of those situations where if you do two things at once, that it doesn't always work. So.
Hey, second time was a success, at least, right?
There you go. But, you know, like I said, this is the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. If you'd like to call in and talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter, and we are slowly but surely running out of time in the year, so we'll have to see if we can get that worked out. But you can hunt me down at Burke Time, so feel free to shoot me any message you'd like to pass along to Stu, and we will take it from there. So, all right, Stu. I think my fear is going to be realized here, where the Bears play just good enough going down the stretch to make people think they're a contender again. Because all the talk I heard today said they're going to the playoffs, even though I believe they're in third place in their division and just one game over 500. But that apparently doesn't matter when you live in Chicago, as long as they win. You know, and they do have a relatively tough schedule left, but everybody's convinced they're beating Minnesota. I don't know. Are we going to be stuck with a bad quarterback who just plays good enough to make us think he's going to be good?
I'm afraid so, and I don't see them making the playoffs. I'll be surprised. At the best, I see them winning one out of the next three games, and that's a stretch.
Yeah, well, you know, the scary part, oh, no, that's true. They, you know, they're going to have to beat Minnesota. You know, they've got Green Bay next week. I don't see that happening, but you know how – you know how Bears fans get. Of course, you know, we're going to beat the Packers, rah, rah, rah. You know, that's what's going to happen. The game is in Green Bay. They're going to have another tough game against the Chiefs, who, you know, you were kind of hoping maybe the Chiefs would be in a position where they wouldn't need that win. Sadly, it looks like they're going to need that win. And then they wrap the season up against the Vikings, who, of course, will be battling, you know, for a playoff spot as well. You know, that game is in Minnesota. Everybody seems to be hanging their hat on the fact that the Bears beat them, you know, 16-6 the first time they played. But that game was in Chicago, so that kind of helped. I don't see this happening. But again, man, that was the talk all day was, oh, yeah, look, you know, they put themselves in such a great spot to make the playoffs. And, you know, they're rolling and look at this and, you know, this and that. And I'm like, wait, what? It's one game against a team that's floundering.
Yeah, and I predict right now, I go on the record as saying they will not make the playoffs and they will not beat Minnesota in the last game of the season on the road. So
to be honest, I don't expect them to win another game this year. I expect them to finish 7-9. You know, I don't see them beating Green Bay. I don't, you know, even though Kansas City has no running game, I don't think they beat Kansas City. You know, and then, yeah, I don't, you know, by then it won't matter if they beat Minnesota. So.
No, and of the three games, though, I think the one they have a shot at will be the home game against Kansas City.
Yeah, you know, you always have a little, you know, a little better chance at home. I did find it interesting. Now, obviously, you know, with my wonderful work schedule, I didn't get to see any of the game. I just had to go through and, you know, watch highlights and stuff. But I was actually shocked to find out that Trubisky ran the ball 10 times last night, and that's got to be the most in a game all season.
Yeah, he did a lot of running last year, but this year it's inversely non-existent. And I'm wondering what changed their thinking to have him run with the ball so much last night. And for the most part, they were very successful with those plays.
You got to figure the fact that they were losing probably had a lot to do with the idea that it might be a good idea to change things. So.
Yeah, they did receive some bad news, though, last night with the Smith being out for the season, looks like.
So, yeah, more, you know, another hit on defense. I know they're going to get Akeem Hicks back, I believe it's next week. So that'll help the defensive line. But, yeah, it looks like Roquan Smith's year is done. And then they're still not sure about Danny Trevathan. So, they'll, you know, from here on out, you know, they'll at least be playing with a backup, you know, at least one backup linebacker.
Yeah. And, well, let's face it, it's the NFL, and I'm sure every team has injuries to contend with. You don't go through a season in the NFL without sustaining some injuries, and a lot of times to your better players as well.
Yeah, well, I am actually wondering how much success the Bears can continue to have when a guy by the name of J.P. Holtz led the team in receiving yards with 56, and then someone named Jesper Horsted also caught four passes. I have no idea who either of these guys are.
Well, Horst is a guy that was a Princeton graduate, very, very smart guy, and he looked great in the exhibition season. Of course, that was the exhibition season, and then he was on the practice squad for the entire year, and I always had hopes that the guy would be a decent player, and so far he looks fairly impressive to me.
Yeah, well, hey, he caught four passes for, well, it was just 36 yards, but he caught four passes.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm kind of looking at these names, and I mean, you know, at least everybody kind of knows who Allen Robinson is, and we've heard of Anthony Miller, and, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson has been around the league. I know they were playing without Taylor Gabriel last night. So, yeah, you know, I mean, you eventually, when you get these kind of unknown receivers, your success is very hit or miss. So I don't know how this kind of continues here with this team.
There was an odd play last night, by the way, and I suppose it's in the rule book, but it doesn't happen very often. But there was a touchdown pass the Bears threw, and it was simultaneously caught by Robinson and the defender at the same time. And there's a rule, if that happens, it goes to the offensive player by rule.
Yeah. So, yeah, that I did see that. So that is the rule, you know. So that's just how it works out. While we were kind of looking at the Bears stats and stuff, you know, David Montgomery had a really good night running the ball, 20 carries for 86 yards. You know, so that, you know, it's always nice to get that running game going, which for whatever reason, the Bears just, you know, sometimes they just kind of seem to abandon it and, you know, other issues. So, you know, that's a big plus.
Didn't Montgomery get hurt at the end of the game? Is he okay?
You know, that I don't know. He might have. You know, he had 20 carries, so he played the majority of the game.
Right. At the very end of the game, I thought he got hurt. There wasn't much of a report on that, if any.
Yeah, and, you know, there you do have to wonder, you know, like they gave up. You know, the defense, you know, while obviously they did enough to win, I don't know, again, not seeing the game, I don't know if Dallas racked up all these stats in garbage time, you know, but they ended up throwing for, well, officially it's 326 yards, but he threw for 334 minus the two sacks. And then Elliott ran for, you know, 81 yards, scored two touchdowns on him. You know, and I know the first drive, you know, Dallas just dominated and went right down the field, and it really looked like it was going to be a long night for the Bears, and then things just kind of turned around. So,
Dallas enhanced their stats in garbage time, but I think the Bears could have played. They did score a few fourth down must plays to continue their drive and getting their final field goal to cut the lead to a touchdown. So I'm not sure if that's considered garbage time or not. As the Bears only wound up winning by 7.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm looking at the numbers here, and, you know, Michael Gallup has really big numbers, and, you know, Cooper had 6 passes caught with the touchdown, and, you know, the backup tight end had 6 catches, you know, and Randall Cobb has a really big average per catch, so it's kind of like, yeah, I'm hoping this was garbage time and that the defense wasn't made to look, you know, that bad. I mean, at least they recorded 2 sacks, and Khalil Mack got one of them, so...
Yeah,
you know, that's a little better, but yeah, anytime you see those kind of numbers, you got to wonder. And again, like I said, not seeing the game, I don't know, you know, where it all comes from.
Yeah, I would say that their pass defense is not as strong as their run defense, and overall, their defense is not as good as it was last year. I'm not sure if you can attribute that to the league catching on to them or the fact they have a new defensive coach.
Yeah, well, yeah, and, you know, to be fair, I mean, the year they had last year, that was going to be difficult to repeat anyways. So, you know, it's no surprise that the defense isn't quite as good as what it was last year. That's not a shock at all. You know, and anybody who thought they were going to be that good is just nuts.
Yeah, that was a tremendous season they had last year. And they haven't been bad this year, but they have allowed a lot of long passes for completions, something that they didn't do at all last year, and sometimes their coverage is very questionable to me. I know they play a lot of zone defense, but boy, some of those long passes that they threw for completions, how do they get open like that? You have to wonder sometimes how this happens.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. You know, I mean, I'll be more interested to see how, you know, this plays out as it goes along. But, you know, obviously the big story out of this game really has nothing to do with the Bears. You know, it's all on the Cowboys, who, besides the fact that they are now under 500, actually still lead their division. They're tied for first place with the Eagles, but, you know, head to head, they beat the Eagles in their first matchup. So technically, the Eagles are 5-7, so they you know, they're a half game back. That's right, because it was Thursday night. But, you know, either way, Dallas won the first matchup against Philadelphia, so they have that tiebreaker. You know, obviously the hot thing is, are they firing Jerry Jones? You know, are they firing Jason Garrett? And, you know, they're on, what are they on now, a 3-game losing streak. You know, they close out with the Rams, the Eagles, and the Redskins, so my guess is they're going to win 2 of those 3. You know, so basically they're going to win this division at 8-8. How big of a joke is this team, and are you firing the head coach if you're Jerry Jones at the end of the year?
I think he's done. I think Garrett's done after this season. I'm pretty sure that he will not come back for the next year as their coach, even though they're going to win the division, which is kind of ridiculous. They haven't done the job that people thought they would do. They thought they would be a more dominant team, and I don't see him returning for next season. What do you think?
You know, it's so hard to tell with, you know, with Jerry Jones, because he's what's the best way to even kind of try or look at it, or how it goes. But, you know, he obviously likes this coach because he can kind of dominate, and that's what he's looking for. You know, it's going to be difficult for him. Like, I've heard the rumors already that they want to talk to Urban Meyer, you know, and then that Lincoln Riley, the Oklahoma coach, is a big target of theirs. You know, these are two coaches that aren't going to put up with the Jerry Jones BS that Jason Garrett puts up with. I mean, Jones is the only owner that not only has a weekly press conference after the game, but also has a radio show, you know, after every game. And I, you know, like, you know, and that was part of his problems with, like, the Bill Parcells and the Jimmy Johnsons when they were coaching the team, you know, was just the fact that he, you know, in reality, Jones wants to coach the team, but I don't believe the NFL would let him. So he has to settle for being general manager, which is bad enough. And I just think his, you know, he's such an egomaniac. He may keep Garrett around if they, you know, if they make the playoffs. And imagine if they win a game or two.
Yeah, that would be something. But he is a rather bizarre owner. But there's not much the NFL can do about it.
No. So, you know, I mean, you know, overall, Garrett has a really good record. He's actually 83-66 in his career. So, you know, you do have to ask, it's kind of like, well, is this maybe just a down year? You know, or is it something that looks like it's going to be continual? Because you've got a team with a lot of talent, and, you know, you do just got to kind of wonder why, you know, they're in this situation. I mean, you look at some of their losses. You know, I know Buffalo's a good team, but I'm really surprised they lost to Buffalo. You know, and then they choked that game to the Jets earlier in the year. And, you know, just some of the, you know, the weird things that have went on. I mean, you know, they could have beat the Patriots. They only lost 13-9. You know, they lost to the Vikings by 4. You know, so they were in a lot of these games. And it, you know, they just couldn't finish. And I know, you know, it also doesn't help that their field goal kicker leads the NFL in missed field goals. So, you know, we remember that last year from the Bears playoff game.
Yeah, it's true. Well, to me, this team seems dysfunctional at this moment in time. There's something wrong with it. I don't know if there's what kind of the players themselves, are they all in? Or is there some kind of skirmishing going on behind the scenes with the various players?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of odd. I mean, you wonder, you know, for the last, I don't know, since Dak Prescott took over as starting quarterback, you knew it was always Ezekiel Elliott's team, and they were going to rely on Elliott to run the football, you know, and they were going to set things off of that. You know, this year Prescott leads the NFL in passing yards. So it's become a much different type of offense. I mean, you know, Elliott's still getting his carries. He went over 1,000 yards with his total last night. And, you know, he's got, you know, 3 games to build on that. So he'll probably be around 13 or maybe 1,400 yards when it's all said and done. But, yeah, it looks like there's been a little shift in offense. And, you know, the question becomes kind of, you know, was it the right way to go? You know, should they have continued to be more run heavy and, you know, worked it out like that? Or are they, you know, are they on the right track?
I don't know. They looked so dominant when the game started. But we've seen that before. We've seen a team dominate in their first series and score a touchdown and look like they're on their way, and then they don't do anything for the rest of the game. And that's the way it turned out last night, except towards the very end of the game when they finally were able to push through a couple of scores. But something is lacking with this team. I don't think that the quarterback is all that good myself. And other than Elliott, they have some talent on the team, but they haven't utilized it properly this year for some reason.
Yeah, well, you know, they have some big decisions to make because, you know, Dak Prescott's contract is up. You know, they were able to re-sign Elliott, but also Amari Cooper's contract is up. So, you know, you're going to have to decide on, you know, I don't know if you can keep both of them, you know, with the salary cap structure and their money they're going to make. And, you know, I believe Prescott has already turned down $30 million a year. So you've got to wonder what he wants. You know, obviously they could franchise one of them, but, you know, that doesn't always bode well for the team.
No, that has caused dissension, but in other teams I've seen the franchise tag cause some dissension, and they have enough dissension
as
it is right now.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, because Cooper's a 1,000-yard receiver. You know, he went over 1,000 yards last night. He has 8 touchdowns. So, you know, he's putting up his numbers. Elliott's getting his numbers. And obviously Prescott is having a really good year. You know, he's got 24 TDs to just 11 picks. So, you know, he's got a solid ratio there. But, yeah, it, you know, I mean, you look and, I mean, they have weapons. You know, the defense – you know, has looked really, you know, like most defenses, they've struggled with their injuries like everybody, but you know, the defense has talent, and you just kind of wonder why we're looking at a 6-7 team and not an 8-5 team or something like that. And a team that's just kind of walking away with the division. Cause let's face it, this division stinks.
Yeah, it's really a weak division, and it certainly has worked out for them, but, and you don't see a team in first place with a losing record very often.
No, every once in a while, I think it might have been the Carolina Panthers who won their division. They were 7-8-1 one year. You know, and I know the Seahawks won the division at 7-9 and then actually won a playoff game. You know, and that ticked everybody off. And then, you know, we had, you know, well, we should change the rules. Yeah, whatever. You know, you win your division, you get the home games, relax. Because, you know, I've already heard people complaining that, you know, as it's set up right now, the wild card teams would be San Francisco and Minnesota. You know, the winner of that game would go to Dallas.
Yeah, there can be some strange aberrations,
so,
right? There could be some strange aberrations when a better team has to go on the road. As a wild card as compared to a team like Dallas with a losing record, but they win the division. But, I mean, how many rules can they're not going to change those rules. I mean, if you win a division, you get a home game. That's the way it is, and I don't see any change to that.
No, and, you know, there's no reason to, you know, it's, you know how it is. It's one of these things where everybody gets their panties in a bunch. You know, this doesn't happen that often. You know, to where we need to go out, I could see, like, if it happened every year and you had a 7-9 team or something like that winning their division, okay, we need to do something about the way the playoff games are handed out. That's fine. But, yeah, just relax. You know, just take it easy. You know, take a deep breath and, you know, let's kind of get on with it here. It's just ridiculous at times.
Well, to use the old cliche, and I don't like to use cliches, but the cream rises to the top. So at the end, you're going to see Seattle, you're going to see San Francisco and New Orleans and some of the other teams battling it out for the championship in the NFC.
Yeah. So
when it's all said and done,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you know, you have to think. I mean, you know, the good teams are gonna, you know, be the good teams. I mean, that's why they're there. You know, I mean, what is it? San Francisco has 10 wins. Seattle has 10 wins. Obviously these teams are good teams.
There's a lot of hype for winning teams, and to me, one of the teams under the radar this year in the NFC is Seattle. You don't hear much about them. And they built a 10-2 record. I'm not sure if that's because they play on the West Coast and their games are on so late, or but people are taking them for granted, and they shouldn't. This is a strong team.
Yeah, it's actually because everybody hates them because they don't blow anybody out. So all their games are really close, and it just seems to bother people. I don't know why,
but it does.
You know, because
right.
I've heard people talking about it today, as a matter of fact, and it's just kind of like they're all upset because, you know, they're not, you know, I mean, like, here I can go through their schedule. You know, they beat Minnesota by 7 points. They beat the Eagles by 8, the 49ers by 3. They beat the Buccaneers by 6, and they needed overtime. They beat the Falcons by 7. Then they had that loss to the Raiders. They beat the Browns by 4, the Rams by 1. Here's their only blowout. They beat the Cardinals by 17. They lost to the Saints by 6. They managed to beat the Steelers by just 2 points. And then they snuck by the lowly Bengals by just 1 point. So it irks people that they're not blowing teams out, but they're winning games.
Well, is it time for me to bring out my favorite catchphrase?
Sure.
They don't ask you how you won. They ask you, did you win? A win is a win. You can win by 1 point. You can win by 30 points. But it's a win, and that's all that counts.
So, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, it's just kind of humorous when you listen to it. You know, it's like, wait, you're mad because they're winning games?
Okay. I guess the super teams, that they want a super team. They want someone to dominate and win by 3 touchdowns every week. And there's a lot of parity in the NFL now, and you don't see that happen too often. Okay. A team dominates like that.
You know, and obviously, you know, you would hope they would blow out a team like Cincinnati, who just got their first win. You would hope for that, but it just, you know, it's not the way Seattle has really kind of played this year. But, you know, they're one of the few teams to beat San Francisco. You know, San Francisco's only lost to Seattle and Baltimore. So, it's been a good team. And, you know, right now, you know, they're leading that division right now. I mean, if the season ended, San Francisco would be a wild card.
Yeah. I've noticed something interesting, and maybe you can comment on this, that it seems to me every year the Patriots start out gangbusters, but at the end of the season they seem to taper off a little bit until, of course, the playoffs start. Any idea why that happens?
You know, I've been wondering that for, you know, probably the last, 6 or 8 years or whatever, and there doesn't really seem to be a rhyme or reason for it. It's almost like they allow the rest of the NFL to catch up to them for a few weeks, you know, and then they decide, okay, well, you know, we've been nice enough to everybody. Let's just put them away. I am a little more interested this year because they've had a lot of trouble offensively, and you know, that's something new. You know, they have one of the top defenses in football.
They do,
but the offense is really, you know, really had big issues this year, and that's not normal. So I'm wondering if maybe, you know, they've came back to the pack a little bit.
Well, do you think that Brady is finally starting to show his age a little bit? I mean, how long can this guy go?
Yeah, you know, he does. I mean, he does look, you know, he's 40-something or other. So, you know, he's starting to look it. And I know there's obviously some questions on, you know, he doesn't have the receivers, because obviously Gronkowski retired, Antonio Brown was just a whack job, and then they let Josh Gordon go. So he doesn't have a huge receiver besides Julian Edelman. And their offensive line has battled quite a few injuries. So the running game hasn't been good. And, you know, eventually that all catches up with you.
Yeah, it does. And I'm trying to think now, who do you think their strong competition is going to be in the playoffs? Is it going to be Pittsburgh?
You know, it's got to be Baltimore. It's got to be Baltimore with the way Baltimore's playing.
Yeah, definitely Baltimore. Pittsburgh always seems to do well in the playoffs, but Baltimore looks like a very, very solid team this year. In fact, they may be the best. Maybe they're the best in the AFC, better than the Patriots.
You know, they've beaten New England once. You know, they've beaten all the good teams they play. They beat New England. They beat San Francisco. So, you know, they're looking like the team. I mean, obviously, you know, as long as Lamar Jackson stays healthy, I think they'll be okay. I will be interested if they get a rematch with the Patriots in the playoffs, how New England tries to defend him. So it would be quite interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, certainly that will be a great matchup in the if they ever did wind up meeting for the AFC Championship. I'm not sure how the playoff schedule works out. If they would have to meet in the semifinal game or in the finals.
So yeah, I think the way – well, right now, obviously, I mean, we've got to play out the remaining weeks here. But right now I believe it would be the championship game is where they would meet because they have the two best records in the AFC. So –
yeah, that would be a terrific matchup. That would be the logical matchup. I guess most people are picking that to be the finals in the AFC. And it's, I don't think it's quite as easy to make it a prediction, though, in the NFC as it is.
Everybody seems to be on the San Francisco bandwagon. You know, they've been the trendy pick for a little while now, even though they lost to the Ravens. You know, everybody was impressed with the way they played because Baltimore only beat them by 3 points. So they seem to be the pick. I don't know if I'm on board with that, but they seem to be the team everybody likes.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I go into that. I buy that. As I'm a little skeptical as you are, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, the tough part with that is, I mean, it's always hard to count out a team that has Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Just because you don't know how that's going to go, because he can single-handedly beat you. And, you know, you can't say that about a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah, they have a good record, but sometimes they really look bad. I mean, when they lose,
yeah.
It's not a close game. They just look so flat, even with Rodgers being the quarterback. And that's the thing that bothers me. I mean, you would think that they would put up a better battle when they're losing, even when everybody's going to lose in the NFL. But when they lose, they just look bad to me. Bad. They don't look like a true bona fide number one contender.
Well, you know, that's like San Francisco beat them badly, and then oddly, so did the Los Angeles Chargers. I almost said San Diego. You know, the Los Angeles Chargers,
right.
You know, beat
right.
Italy. So it's been a little odd with that, but you know, still, again, I mean, as long as Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback, especially in the playoffs, and if you've got to go to Green Bay, you know, that's always going to give them a chance.
Yeah, and especially if the weather is bad in Green Bay, and we've seen some horrendous weather conditions over the years. There's the infamous Ice Bowl, but that's probably before your time.
Yeah, a little before me. So
just a few,
but
just
all right,
a couple
well,
years before you.
Yeah, let's jump ship here because we've had a pretty active MLB off season so far, and even today we had a trade. The Padres sent outfielder Hunter Renfroe. And one of their top prospects, I believe he's a top 100 prospect, a shortstop by the name of Xavier Edwards. He's going to Tampa Bay. In return, the Padres get a minor league infielder by the name of Jake Cronenworth. I just wanted to say that. And outfielder Tommy Pham. So basically they swapped outfielders. I believe Tampa Bay also gets a player to be named later or cash in this deal as well. From what I've heard, San Diego is trying to take a win now type of attitude. And, you know, they've been in, you know, like they were in on Zach Wheeler and they lost out, you know, kind of like the White Sox did. They've tried to get in on some of these other guys and it hasn't worked so far. Is Tommy Pham going to be a big enough ad to help this team out?
He's not a bad player. He's a pretty decent player, but they want to win now. But look who they're up against in their division, and then tell me they're going to win now. I don't see it happening.
Well, you know, there is the chance for the wild card, though, because really the only team in their division is the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's right. So, When they say they want to win now, maybe they're saying we're going to win now as a wild card. And then, as we know what happened last season, the Dodgers well remember, anything can happen in a five-game series.
Yeah, all you have to do is get in. You know, that's the thing. And, I mean, it's funny because when I saw this deal, you know, the players they swapped are really similar. So I found it kind of humorous. But what I realized what Tampa Bay did is Pham had 2 years of control left while Hunter Renfroe has four. So they basically just, you know, saved their payroll for a couple years.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, that's so, I guess you could call it Tampa Bay-ish because that's just what they do.
And, well, it seems to work for them, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, I don't know
year
how they do
year
it. You know, Renfro's a big-time power hitter. He was putting up big, big numbers until he kind of picked up all these goofy, nagging injuries, but he still ended up with 33 bombs. Of course, he only hit 216 and struck out 154 times. Get the number right, but welcome to the new Major League Baseball.
That's
so,
for you, right? Yeah, whatever they wind up doing, it seems to work for them with a team with
yeah.
a limited budget, and they seem to win over 90 games every season.
So yeah, and I want to see this this Edwards they got is he's just 20 years old. And he's in his second year in the minors. He split it between A and high A. He did hit 322 for the year, you know, class A, so it's just one home run with 43 RBIs. But he did steal 34 bases, and he only struck out 54 times in 503 at-bats. So,
well, that's class A, though. I mean, there's a big, big difference
yeah.
between Class A and even Class AA or Class AAA. So let's see if he can
continue. Yeah, but there's still,
continue
there's still our guys out there putting gigantic strikeout numbers in Class A. So
yeah, as you pointed out, that's baseball nowadays, and it's unfortunate that we have to put up with that. And I miss the contact situational hitting, and we've talked about that before. So we're talking about baseball, by the way. I have a surprise contender for you next season. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm looking for Cincinnati to make a dramatic improvement. In fact, maybe even contend for the NL Central in 2020.
Yeah, you know, like a lot of teams, I think they're a pitcher or two away, but you know, there's still plenty of time for them to go out and try to pick up some of those guys. You know, I don't think they're going to land a Garrett Cole or a Steven Strasburg.
No way.
You know, I did read an article that they were one of the teams that reached out to Madison Bumgarner. I don't know if that'll be a landing spot for him. I don't think so, but, maybe they can find somebody out there.
Yeah, at this stage right now, I could not tell you who would be the favorite to win the National League Central next season.
No, you know, again, there's so much going on right now. We got to see who ends up where and, you know, what team ends up with, with who. But I did see, I think the Cubs made a couple moves today that might change your mind. Let me go and find them real quick here because they made a signing, and then I know they're in contract talks with another guy. Here you go. They agreed today to $750,000 for right-handed reliever Dan Winkler. So he will be joining the Cubs. He's a 29-year-old reliever who pitched for the Braves last year in 27 games. He was 3-1 with a 4.98 ERA.
Hey, that's not too shabby, right? And
so
didn't he have a history of injuries a couple of years ago? Wasn't he injured for 2 years in a row?
Yeah. He missed 2014 and 2015 with Tommy John surgery. So,
well, let's put it this way. I think I'm underwhelmed by that transaction.
Okay, well, this one may change your mind. It says the Cubs and Brandon Morrow are discussing a minor league deal with an invite to spring training.
Wow, that could turn the whole season around.
So yeah, and there were some actual signings of players who should contribute to their teams today. The Twins re-signed Michael Pineda to a 2-year deal. The Twins also went out and signed Alex. What is it? Avila is how we're pronouncing it now after years of being Avila. So he's on the move again. The Nationals are bringing back Howie Kendrick. The Rangers signed a starting pitcher, Kyle Gibson, and the Mets are bringing back Brad Brack, which is tough to say with all the B's there, after he washed out with the Cubs.
Yeah, and Howie Kendrick is a good ball player, but he's not a youngster, so I'm not sure, how good he's going to be in 2020.
No, he's a part-time utility type of guy. It's not like they're, counting on him to play every day. But, hey, he was national, he was NLCS MVP. So
yeah,
he helped them win a World Series.
He sure did. Do you look for a lot of movement starting Sunday?
It's so hard to tell. I mean, with the way things have been going, I would like to say yes, but I don't see Strasburg or Cole or Rendon or maybe even Bumgarner or Donaldson being signed. But we may see a lot of other movement because there are teams that need catching, and there's not what you would call a front line number one catcher on the free agent market anymore. So if you're going to go get one, it's going to have to be with a trade. Milwaukee just went out and got Omar Nieves. So, we'll have to see if maybe there's some movement there with some teams.
Possibly. Well, Nieves is a pretty good signing for the Brewers. He was pretty solid this year.
Yeah, no, he had a real good year, given a chance to catch full time. He was never given that opportunity with the White Sox, but he took advantage of it in Seattle. And now we'll see how he does there. Well, with the Brewers. But yeah, it's so tough. I think like the Astros are trying to catcher. And there are a couple other teams that are going to need help in that department. So it'll be interesting to see if they try to. If they settle for one of these guys that are still floating around on the market, I mean, there still are some older names out here. I mean, they're Wellington Castillo, Jason Castro kind of guys, Jonathan Lucroy, Martin Maldonado,
right.
No guys that are going to like move the meter, but would be solid if you had somebody to pair them with. So, we'll kind of have to see how that goes. But, I know the Astros are looking for a catcher. The Angels are looking for a catcher. So, we might see something shake out somewhere on that market. And then, of course, I'm sure we'll see, a bazillion pitchers sign that aren't going to have a gigantic effect on anything.
No, I suppose we won't see the major – free agent signing until January.
Yeah. January or February, because, a couple of these guys are Scott Boras guys, and, he's going to hold them out as just as long as he humanly possibly can. So,
as we talked before, though, I always wonder about late signings for these guys and how it affects them for the season.
Well, as long as they can get in for camp, I think they're okay. It's once training camp starts and a guy's not signed, then I start to worry.
And rightly so.
So, because, we haven't seen guys, Dallas Keuchel was the first guy to really have any type of success last year, and by no means was he great. He was just above, he was probably average. But, you look at the other guys, Kimbrel was a bust. You look at Arrieta, who struggled. Any of those other guys, you go back, especially pitchers. You know, but hitting wise, you know, Kendry Morales held out the 1 year. So did Steven Drew. They were both Boris guys. Morales came back and ended up being a decent player, but Drew was never the same player after that.
No.
So it it'll be interesting to see if players allow that to happen. Cause you know, like Mike Moustakas was one of those guys the last 2 years. So he already signed. He, you know, the Reds jumped out,
yep,
and made a really nice offer.
Yep.
So, you know, he doesn't have to deal with that again. I'm sure he's pretty happy. And I just wonder if some of these guys are kind of like, hey, you know, what's going on? Let's get something worked out. Because, you know, obviously they want to play. You know, and you've got to wonder, you know, I mean, when you're making as much money as they are, is the difference between $10 million and $10.5 million really that big a deal? You know,
yeah,
maybe to the agent because of the position?
Yeah, possibly. But they should look at the history of what's transpired the last few years and try to avoid that if at all possible. I think it would be in the best interest of the players and the teams and the fans if they could make it sign a little bit earlier than they have been in the last few years.
Yeah, you know, but the problem with that is the terminology you used there was in the best interest of the players, and there isn't one agent out there who gives a damn about a player. He's just looking for the biggest deal he can get.
Show me the money, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, you know, it was like I was laughing with Dan earlier in the week because one of the big things this off season has been free agents are going to sign closest to where they grew up. For some reason, I don't know, this has been the motivating factor with guys signing. Well, when Zach Wheeler signed, I looked it up. He's from Georgia. Apparently, the deciding factor in him signing with the Phillies over the White Sox, who offered him more money, is his wife is from New Jersey, and she wanted to be closer to home. So, yeah, happy wife, happy life, right? You're a married guy.
That's true. That's exactly right.
So, yeah,
well,
I just laughed because there's talking heads on TV going, yeah, well, this guy's going to probably sign here because he's from there. Yeah, when it boils down to if it's married, you're married, there's a lot more say-so in it than you have.
Yeah. Well, you look at it from this point of view, though, with the jet travel and everything else, how much is if you're an hour further away from home than you normally would be, does that make that much of a difference? I guess maybe it does.
Well, yeah, you know, it's probably less of a hassle, you know, because you know how airports are and stuff. You've dropped your son and picked your son up enough to know how that goes. So, you know, if you don't have to do that, you know, it's probably easier. And, I just thought that was hilarious because, there were a bunch of guys who had Wheeler sign in with the Braves who, when he got signed, decided to go with Cole Hamels. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, if Wheeler had signed with Atlanta, that would really have made them an odds-on favorite to repeat again in the division for 2020.
So yeah, you know, they're still working. You know, obviously, you know, the big thing there is I know they want Josh Donaldson back, so they're going to have to figure out what goes on there. And you know, sadly, it's a lot of sitting and waiting around because you know. You know, it's the same thing with Anthony Rendon. I know the Rangers have been in talks, and the Rangers really want to sign him. But the fact that he's a Boris guy, they're, you know, sitting on their hands now because they've had this meeting, and you damn well know nothing's going to happen.
Well, if one guy's going to get mega bucks, it's going to be Rendon.
Yeah. So, yeah, him and, you know, like I know Garrett Cole is going to break the bank. You know, the Yankees had a talk with him yesterday, and their owner has given them permission to, you know, if it's got to be a record-setting contract, they're allowed to pay him that. So I was just kind of like, wow, okay.
So are the Yankees saying luxury tax be damned?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're one of those teams, you know, like the Dodgers and that, who just don't, you know, if they got to pay the luxury tax, they pay it. You know, they don't care anything about that. They want to win. So...
Yeah, that's got to be tough for the, as we talked before, that's really got to be discouraging for the smaller market teams when a team like the Yankees or the Dodgers they don't care about the luxury tax. They just go out and sign a player that they want.
Yeah, and you know, it's always funny when, like, you know, I hear the Red Sox crying about paying the luxury tax, because it shouldn't be an issue to a team like that either. You know, nor should it be for the Cubs. You know, these teams should be able to go out and sign whoever they want for whatever they want. But yet they're, you know, there's always a few of them that cry, you know, like they're a small market team. Oh, God, no, we can't do this. And, you know, like, I would hate to be a Red Sox fan this year, because it's just going to – unless their pitchers come back healthy and they are just lights out, it's looking like it's probably going to be another non-playoff year for them.
Right now it does, but, of course, that could change.
You know, I mean, especially if they decide to deal Mookie Betts.
That's critical for them. That's critical. So you're of a mind thinking they're not going to sign Mookie Betts to a deal.
Well, you know, there were some reports earlier this week that they thought they had a way to do it, but I the only way they're going to be able to do it is if they can find some idiot team to take, like, David Price's contract. I don't know. I'm guessing there's probably a no trade clause in, like, JD Martinez's contract. So I just don't see, you know, that happening. I believe Price is owed $96 million. And I just don't know a team that's going to pick that up.
No, I would be very reluctant to pick up Price's deal, that kind of money. Especially with his injury history, too.
Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely an interesting situation. And I understand, I mean, if the Red Sox are smart, well, yeah, they're going out there on the market saying, oh, yeah, we're trying to keep him. We're doing everything in our power to keep him. But I'm willing to bet they're not even talking to him about a contract extension. You know, this is just kind of words in the media where they can kind of go, you know, because you got to sell your fan base, obviously. But, yeah, I don't see it happening. I won't be surprised if, you know, at the All-Star break he gets shipped off to, you know, a contender.
Yeah, could happen.
So, you know, I mean, the sad part is if they hold him that long, they're not really going to get a ton for him, because you're only going to have him for half a season because he'll hit free agency, and who knows if he'll stay with you.
Yeah, that's always a tough decision to make for a team, even a team that's in contention.
You know, I know the Indians are going through a little bit of this as well. You know, last year they tried to break things down and couldn't get a deal done. You know, the only move they ended up making was they ended up dealing Trevor Bauer at the trade deadline. But they're in the same situation now where it looks like they're going to end up having to trade Francisco Lindor, because they won't be able to sign him. So, you know, here's another blockbuster guy, and, you know, maybe they'll finally move Corey Kluber if he's healthy. But, you know, they're trying to trim payroll, and, you know, it's got to be tough when you sit here and, you know, you root for these teams and all this stuff, and, you know, they're just kind of dumping on you. I mean, at least the Red Sox have picked up a World Series here and there. The Indians ain't done nothing. So
they did come close, though.
Yeah, but, you know, what does close get you?
That's true. Very true.
So, you know, we'll see. You know, and that was like, you know, the Cubs coming out this week saying they wanted to move, you know, make a major deal. You know, and everybody was in play, even Anthony Rizzo. So, you know, a lot of times it's just words.
Yeah, I don't see them moving Rizzo.
No, God, no. With the contract he has, they're not moving Rizzo. The only major guy they're going to move is Chris Bryant, but they can't, you know how it is. They can't come out and say that. They're not trading Javi Baez. You know, he's got superstar potential written all over him. You know, there is some talk that a lot of teams are interested in Contreras, so I wouldn't be surprised to see one of the catchers go, depending on what they could get for him. But, yeah, you know, Baez isn't going anywhere. Rizzo isn't going anywhere. I honestly think they'd be stupid to trade Contreras, but that's just me. I mean, he's only going to make about $4 or $5 million this year, you know, in arbitration. So,
yeah, I can't see them considering trading Contreras. The only one I consider him trading of the major players would be Chris Bryant. And what would they get in return? That's the thing that always, the question I always ask. Would they just get prospects, or would they get another major leaguer room return? Does they get that would help the team immediately?
Yeah, you know, like the funny thing with Bryant is like none of that is going to shake down until Rendon and Donaldson sign, because then the team that loses out on them would be the team that would turn to the Cubs to look for Bryant. So,
the domino effect.
Yeah, you know, because otherwise they're not moving him before that, especially if a team thinks they're in play, you know, for one of those two guys. So, you know, and I mean, like, you know, like I know I heard Washington talking today. Apparently their owner came out and said they can't keep both Rendon and Strasburg. So they're going to have to pick and choose between them. My guess is they'll pick Strasburg because you can win in the playoffs with pitching. All you got to do is get there. So, you know,
right.
That could be a destination for Brian if they decide to sign Strasburg. Then it could open the door for them to, you know, hey, well, we got to go get a third baseman. Let's go get Chris Bryant. So, you know, that could be interesting. But, you know, other than that, it's so hard to tell. I mean, you know, I know the Dodgers are looking for first baseman or for a third baseman, and they have prospects that are right there on the brink that could play. So, you know, that could be interesting, but I don't know if that's something the Cubs are looking at.
Yeah, and this team has been down for so many years, and they finally, starting in 2015, they became a contender. And you don't want to see them start to rebuild again. I mean, I don't think I could take it.
No, but I do think they probably need to move one guy to kind of shake things up. You know, I think the biggest problem I have though is if they do move Bryant, who plays third base? You know, I mean, is, you know, because Dan and I were kind of talking about this yesterday. Does that make David Bote the everyday third baseman, or are we looking at Ian Happ?
Well, that doesn't exactly thrill me. Either one of those. If I had to choose between them, I would take Bote. Although he could be inconsistent, too, at the plate. And Happ started to look a little bit better at the end of the season last year, if you remember.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess you could platoon him because, you know, Happ is a switch hitter. So, you know, you could always kind of, you know, try to do something like that. And, you know, if I remember correctly, I believe Wilson Contreras has played some third base, you know, in his major league career. So, you know, maybe he could get a game or two in down there. But. You know, yeah, it, you know, that's always the question you got to answer is, okay, well, great, we made this deal, but, you know, how do we fill the spot? Because obviously you're not going to get a third baseman back because the team trading for Bryant isn't going to want another third baseman.
No.
So, you know, how do we solve our problem here?
Yeah, we'll see if any of these rumors come to fruition in the upcoming weeks or not.
Yeah, because what the owners meeting? Well, the owners meeting start the winter
Sunday.
Meetings, I should say, start next week. Yeah, so you know we should start hearing all kinds of fun rumors and you know who's going where and you know how these guys are and all that other fun stuff. So you know we'll see, but I don't know.
Well, it'll be interesting, and I'm not quite ready yet to anoint the White Sox as a dominant team in baseball in Chicago starting in 2020, just yet.
No, they need a pitcher. You know, if they can go out and find a pitcher, I think they can contend, and you know, at least for a wild card, or maybe their division. Their division isn't very good. And, you know, they could do that, but yeah, they've got to get a top of the rotation guy. I am at work on the Hey, if you did miss the podcast, go over to 2Bitstop.com. I think I said anything wrong.